Romans chapter 1 and verse number 15. Notice what Paul writes to the church of Rome. He says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Our Father in heaven, we thank you again this morning for your word and the time we can spend together in it. And Father, thank you again for leading a young man and a young family to this church. And we know it can be really a couple of months yet before he really establishes himself. But we pray for his wife and family as they look for a little one to come. Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can open your word and you'll challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I was going to mention to you, it doesn't bother Bonnie and I if we do not have a pianist. We'd love to have a pianist, but in our first church that we had, this was some 40 years ago, we went probably almost a year without a church pianist. And I was a new pastor, and I am not musically inclined that way, but I was willing to lead the songs. And in time, God led us to some. But Amen. Both of my daughters and Bonnie are musically inclined, but they don't play instruments except Robin. She plays the piano, but they all sing, and over the years, even when they were this high, they'd get behind the pulpit and they would sing songs. And of course, their dad's heart was leaping for joy. Amen. And it still does that. We just got back from Guam. You say, Guam, that's hot, isn't it? Yes, it is. We were there for 14 days. Our son-in-law and second daughter and youngest granddaughter are serving at a large Christian school in Guam. They went there a year ago, and we told them we would come and see them. Well, it just happened that last week and the week before that, we were able to go to Guam. That was the first time we were there, and we just had a great time. We're so thankful that God has worked in our children's lives to continue to share the gospel anyway. Well, as you look at your outline that is there, you'll notice that in the introduction, I've shared with you the verse that Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says, "So much as is in me, I am ready." What do you think Paul was talking about when he said he was ready to come to Rome? He always wanted to go to Rome, but for years he couldn't, and the Lord didn't open that door. But he says, "I am ready." Now, the Greek word there is prothomos, and it actually means I'm prepared. I'm prepared to come to Rome, but it also means I am eager to come to Rome. Were Bonnie and I eager to come here to Viroqua? Sure we were. Amen. And I'll share with you why as we go along. And I'm sure your new pastor is eager to be here also. And he probably would be here tomorrow or would have been here today if things would work out. But sometimes there's different things you got to work out before you can actually move out to follow the Lord. And you just be praying. Notice what Paul says. "So much as is in me, I am ready, I am prepared, I am eager to do what? Preach." You know what the word preach means? It means to declare the gospel. It means to sound forth the gospel. Paul says, "I'm ready when I come to Rome to preach the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ died for your sin and my sin, and anyone that would believe on him, he'd give him eternal life." Now, Paul, why would you want to go to Rome? Wasn't God using you in Macedonia and Thessalonica and Colossae and these other areas where the gospel hadn't been preached yet? And Paul would have said, yes, but now there's a small church established there, and I've committed it to Timothy and Titus and so forth. So I really want to go to Rome. Now, why did Paul want to go to Rome? Do you know that before this time, there was no apostle that had actually went to Rome to establish a church? You see, why was Paul writing the letter to the church then? Who started the church there in Rome, by the way? Well, the only one that Bible scholars and we would all admit would be there were some after Pentecost, came to know Christ as Savior, Jewish people, maybe even some Gentiles, moved down to Rome because Rome was the popular place to be. And since the Christians were forced out of Jerusalem, they went down to Rome. And you know what? It was lay people that actually started this church in Rome. We're not really sure it was just one church, but we do know it was one because he writes this letter to them. So it was lay people. Do you know today, many times, lay people are starting churches, even in Wisconsin? A few get together in a Bible study, and the Bible study grows, and as time gets along, they begin to set up a constitution and so forth. But then there's other churches like Viroqua, where there wasn't any pastor there for a while. So what does the church do? Fold up? No, there are godly leaders within the church that have kept this church alive until God see fit to bring you a pastor. And now you can relax a little bit, leaders, but not too much, okay? You need to stay alongside of that pastor. You need to come alongside of him. And if I could read your pastor's heart this morning hour, he would probably say, along with the Apostle Paul, I'm ready to preach the gospel in Viroqua. Amen. It might not be as big as Rome, but I'm ready to preach the gospel there. Another reason why Paul had a desire to go to Rome, because we'll find out, he wanted to reach others in Rome for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to come alongside the church, encourage them to continue to reach out, because there's others that are lost. They need a Savior. And you know what? As many years as this church has been preaching the gospel, because I knew of the ministry of this church when you had your Christian school, and we had a Christian school in Union Grove, because they would compete together once in a while. I know that this church probably has said, we've tried, Pastor, we've been out there. But you know what? You never know when the next soul is around the corner. And at Union Grove Baptist Church, and even at the Paddock Lake Baptist Church that I was at before that, every 3 years, we would go out to even homes that we had been there before, because situations change, people move in. And my goal, as I shared with the church, was to reach the homes in a 10-mile radius. Amen. Yes, many of them were farmers. But you know what? They needed the gospel also. So you know what we did on Tuesday night and Saturday mornings? No, we're not Jehovah Witnesses. We are true witnesses.
That's right.
We were out calling door to door and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know when the last time that your church has visited this neighbor next door or the next neighbor down around the corner. They probably know about you, but have you ever knocked on the door and said, could I share the gospel of the Lord Jesus with you? Amen. You say they won't listen. Oh, yes, they will. Paul could have said that too. He's going to Rome. There were something like 1 million Gentiles in Rome. There were 250,000 Jews in Rome. Have you ever tried sharing the gospel with a Jewish individual? How many of you have? One. I also, a couple of times, and even out in the church that we're, my associate pastor, I run into a Jewish individual. And you say, what do you say to them? You say the same thing to them as you do to the Gentile. Amen. And my question is, if you would die today, this is the key question. If you would die today and stand before the God that you worship, I'm talking to a Jewish man or a Jewish woman, and he'd ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, they'll most likely say, well, nobody knows an answer to that. And I could say to them, I can give you an answer, and if you give me a chance, I share with them John 3:16, and then the Romans wrote just shortly down the line. But the key question, and I shared this with you last time, is this. If you would die today and stand before God, and he'd ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Now, you just keep that in mind. You don't have to go door knocking to ask that question. You can be out at a restaurant. You could have your car worked on. And for some reason, God says, I want you to share the gospel. Just recently, Bonnie and I had our car fixed because a stone, something hit the hood. And I took it to this young man in Union Grove, and I didn't know him. Lives right behind him. His shop right behind us, and actually put it on in a day, got a hood, put it on. I said, I got to share with this young man. So I began to share with him, and he says, oh, yeah, my wife's religious, but I'm not. I says, but you know what? You're going to die someday. So even if they don't say they're from a religious background, I say to them, when they say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So I say to them, can I ask you a question? Sure. Are you going to die someday? You know what? It works every single time. You can say it with love, and they'll say, well, I'll just cease to exist. But what happens if you don't cease to exist? So it's been probably 8 weeks, and almost every week I go back to that young man. I was just there a couple days ago, and he says he's so busy, and he is. But I said, you can't be too busy for God. Amen. So I tried to share with him again. The neat thing was, within the last week, before we went to Guam, our landlord, who we've been renting from for 10 years, for the first time, I was able to share the gospel with him, because he told me this when I brought my check over. He said, I have a friend that is dying of cancer, and I could tell he was really hurting. I said, Billy, can I share something with you? Can I share the gospel of the Lord? Now, he knew that I was a former pastor from Union Grove Baptist Church. I think he goes to a Lutheran church, but I'm not sure. So we went to Guam, and I've been praying for him ever since. Said, can we come back? And I needed to bring him another check. But it wasn't just the check. I needed to talk with him again, and I was able to share with him again. And he told another friend of mine that my renter, Pastor Schlegel, was over, or George was over, is what he said. And he was preaching to me. Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel anytime. Now, I look for opportunities. I make opportunities. Rome was a very prosperous city, but it's also a city of much sin. They had their Roman gods. They had their Greek gods, which you know about. There was a lot of immorality that took place there in Rome. There was drunkenness and lying and cheating and stealing. Does it sound like Viroqua or Kenosha or New York City? Does it sound like right outside our door? We might not worship gods of the Roman gods and the Greek gods, but we got our other things that are worship. But one thing Paul says in this verse, or these verses, we'll look at it. Paul wanted to impart a spiritual gift unto the church there at Rome. And this morning hour, I want to impart a spiritual gift unto you, the same thing that Paul said to the church at Rome.
Amen.
Okay? So let's go back and start from the beginning. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Notice Paul says, I am ready to be a testimony for Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul says, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. For God is my witness who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might now prosper or I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Notice, first of all, Paul says he was ready to be a testimony to the Christians there at Rome.
Amen.
That's Bonnie and I's desire for you this morning hour, that we'd be a testimony for you. How could we be that testimony? How was the Apostle Paul that testimony? Well, notice four things. First of all, in verse number 8, Paul says, first of all, I want you to know, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, I think I mentioned this before, but you probably forgot it. Do you know that Bonnie and I and our church and several churches in the state of Wisconsin been praying for Bethlehem Baptist Church for months, that God would lead a pastor to them? And the number of times I've been here, it's more often and it's more personal because I'm able to see you. But Paul hadn't seen the church there in Rome. But you know, Paul had a prayerful heart. Notice here, as Paul had a thankful heart, a prayerful heart, he prayed for believers' salvation all over. Turn to, keep your finger always in this 1 Corinthians or Romans 1, because we'll be coming back there. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes these words. I'm always encouraged by reading and looking at Paul's writings, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, notice what Paul says. I thank my God always for your on your behalf for the peace of God which is given by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as a testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. Paul says, I'm thankful for the salvation that is there in the church of Corinth.
Amen.
You say, Corinth? Corinth was a carnal's church. It had all kinds of problems.
Right.
Yes, but Paul said, I'm thankful for the believers that are there that can help take care of the problems that are there and by God's word, turn it around.
Amen.
The book of Philippians, if you'll turn there. Notice what Paul says here. Paul must have had quite a prayer list. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3, notice what Paul says. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. And he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And verse number 6 is my life verse. And he says, being confident in this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. Paul's prayer list for other believers, other churches, you might say. The book of Colossians. The book of Colossians and chapter 1 there also. Colossians chapter 1. Now, our brother mentioned about prayer meeting here at this local church. Are you part of it? Or do you just stay home? Now, if you're working, that's one thing. If you're just staying home, that's another. You say, Pastor, that's my golf night. Change your golf night to another night then, okay? Amen. God's people joining together in prayer is not only solid, but is firm, and God answers that prayer.
Amen.
The former church that we are from, Union Grove Baptist Church, where Pastor Schmidt is from, he is on VCY as far as global, focus global, whatever it is. Anyway, the church has grown a whole lot because a lot of people are interested in last minute things or last time things. They had a 16-hour prayer starting on Friday night and ending on Saturday, and they were praying for our nation. We should never apologize for the church praying for a nation that stands for the things of God.
Amen.
And wants the desire of God to be fulfilled here in the United States.
Right.
And we ought to be part of prayer meeting. We at Southport Baptist Church on Wednesday night join together in prayer. And we pray for our nation. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for God's leading in certain events. Praise the Lord that 2 years ago he sent us a pastor because we were without a pastor for 2 years. I was there as the interim because I was there with my son-in-law at the time when he left. So God just automatically kind of worked that out. But notice, second of all, Paul in this verse says, in chapter 1, verse 8, the last part of the verse, he says, your faith has been spoken of throughout the whole world. You mean the church at Rome? As big as that place was, and as small as that church probably was, your faith has been spoken of. In other words, there's been a testimony about a church in Rome that has passed from one continent to another continent. They weren't probably very big, but I'll tell you what, they had a testimony for the Lord. Yeah. Notice Paul talks about the Thessalonians' testimony in 1 Thessalonians. And again, if you don't want to turn to these verses, you can just listen to the verses, and we'll get back to Romans in a minute. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 6. Notice again, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all. 4 times we've already read Paul's prayer list and him giving thanks for everyone that was a believer, making mentioning of you in our prayers. And this is what Paul says he remembered. He says, I remember the Thessalonians without ceasing your work of faith. That means they came to know Christ as Savior. Your labor and love as they continue to share the gospel. And your patience in hope, that is, of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Because you are elect of God. Paul writes to the church there at Rome. Roman tells him that he's been praying for him. He's been praying for several years. He wanted to go there, but the Lord hadn't opened that door at this particular time yet. Notice in verse number 10, part of Paul's prayer. He says, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul wanted a prosperous journey by the will of God. And you and I, as you pray for your pastor, you are praying for him to have a prosperous journey to be with you by the will of God.
Amen.
I don't want to scare you, but do you know how long it took the Apostle Paul once he started towards Rome to get there? Do you know what he went through? I meant he went to Jerusalem to help some saints out, to give them a little money. They put him in jail. Then they put him on a ship to Rome. And the ship went shipwrecked. And Paul was taken prisoner to Rome. Now, you be praying for your new pastor that he have a prosperous journey as he comes to be with you. And one of the ways he's been hindered is because of his wife carrying a baby that they just want to be cautious with. Now, that's a good thing to be hindered with, right?
Amen.
Yet on the same token, if you haven't been praying for him on a daily basis and in your prayer meeting time, you need to do that. I can give you, and Bonnie could share, yes, when we went from, first of all, off to Bible study, our Bible school, and then coming back from Bible school, and then coming to Union Grove, the events that took place sometimes weren't always smooth. I was thinking just the other day when we went from Bible school to a church in Michigan. How are we going to move? Well, these were potato farmers. They brought a big semi, and our stuff just went basically along the bottom of it. We didn't have to stack it up on a U-Haul or anything. And when we got to the parsonage, we had three children, and it was small. But we found out the first year we were there that we got cold. And one of the ladies come and told us, "You're going to freeze out here. Nobody told you this." Well, you know what? God worked it out. Bonnie's dad come and helped us, and we did. Secondly, I want you to know, Paul says, "I am ready. I am eager to come to Rome to be an encouragement to you believers there at Rome."
Amen.
And that's the purpose of pulpit supply pastors, to be an encouragement to the church while they wait for a pastor to come. Notice he says in verses 11 through 13, Paul says, "For I long to see you." Yeah, we do long, even though it's a few miles away. We long to see the ones that are here that we met before. But he says, "I long to see you that I may," and here's the word, "impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you might be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles." Notice verse number 11. What encouragement was the Paul going to share? Paul longed to see the believers that were there because, number one, he was going to impart. He was going to impart some spiritual gift unto them. The word impart actually means to give something over to some other people that they don't have or they're not using. Now, was Paul talking about the spiritual gifts in chapter 12? Most Bible scholars say no. Notice in verse number 11, Paul says, "For I long to see you that I may impart or give unto you something that I have that you aren't apparently either using, but it's something to do with spiritual gifts." What is a spiritual gift? those of you that are seasoned probably have heard that it is a God-given ability to serve the Lord and to serve others. It's a God-given ability to serve the Lord and to serve others. Do you know spiritual gifts in chapter 12 and even in the book of Acts and the book of 1 Corinthians was never given to uplift an individual like some people say today? Well, I'm uplifted when I speak in these tongues. I don't know if you have any Pentecostal churches around here. But when they go into their churches, nobody understands what they're saying. That's exactly what Paul says. He's not talking about that spiritual gift of administration or gift of giving or whatever. So what is Paul talking about here? And most scholars would agree. He says, "For I long to see you that I may impart, that I might give something to you that I have that you are not using." You say, what gift is that? Keep your finger here. I thought you'd ask, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. You know it by heart, don't you? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. You know, God has given us the gift of witnessing and sharing the gospel with the unsaved. But in most cases, Christians aren't using that gift. Paul says, I'm eager, I'm prepared, and I'm ready to declare the gospel of Christ. But you at Rome, maybe because of persecution or maybe because others are mocking you, you haven't been sharing the gospel. Notice in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Isn't it the Holy Ghost that gives us the gift of sharing the gospel? Amen. To come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world.
Amen.
You know, the church today isn't afraid to go out and hand out flyers about Vacation Bible School to their neighbors. Hey, go ahead and do that. Sometimes the church today isn't afraid to even go out on a gospel blitz where the church assembles itself and it goes out to homes and doesn't really knock on doors because they're afraid to do that. I got to admit, it isn't easy. But they'll put a track there. Hey, go ahead with your gospel blitz. Share the gospel at the restaurants and at the gas stations. And you know what Paul is saying? I want to impart unto you a spiritual gift that God has given to me that I want to give it to you. That is the challenge of sharing the gospel verbally with someone else.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I'm afraid to do that. What are we afraid of? Do you know what? If your neighbor's house right next door to here was starting to burn down, I mean, you see a fire, what would you do? You would call the fire department, or you would go up to their door, knock on their door and say, you're in trouble. Well, you know what? They are all in trouble of an eternal fire. And Paul says here, I want to impart some spiritual gift. The word impart means that Paul wanted to give something to others that he had that apparently they were not using. And a spiritual gift is the ability to serve God and to serve others. It's not to serve yourself. And I assure you this morning that if you just pick up the little phrase of saying to someone that you come in contact with them, If you would die today and stand before God, or you could ask him, do you go to church anywhere? And they say, well, yeah. Well, since you are a God-fearing person, can I ask you a question? You know what? I've been doing this for years, and I've been able to share the gospel with Jewish people, agnostics, Arabs, because when they come to the door, I don't know who's going to come to the door. Even some that are Satanists. Now that don't happen very often, but it does. All you need to do is ask them, do you go to church anywhere? Well, no, I'm agnostic. I'm atheist. Well, since you're an atheist, can I ask you a question? What's going to happen once you die? Hey, Paul was challenging the church. Notice here the second part of verse number 11. And I do this every time I come here. I get halfway through and I don't get done. But notice he says here, he was going to establish them. He was going to strengthen them. And it shows you a passage of scripture there. Notice in verse number 12, this is really interesting. Paul says that when I come unto you, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by mutual faith, both you and I. You know what Paul was saying? When I come to you at Rome, you're going to be an encouragement to me. You're going to comfort me. He wasn't asking for money. He got encouragement by other Christians talking about the Lord, winning people to the Lord, and so forth. You know, your new pastor, he needs encouragement. He needs encouragement for you to come alongside of him and help him out in whatever way he can. What happens if he asked a man or two of you to go door knocking with him? I don't know if this pastor door knocks that's coming, but what would happen? Would there be anyone in the church who would say, Pastor, I'll go along with you, but don't ask me to talk? Maybe there's a lady that said, I'd love to go along with Pastor, but you also need another lady. Pastor will not go alone with one lady unless it's his wife. So sometimes my wife Bonnie, even though she's shy and held back until you get to know her, okay? She comes along whenever a lady comes along. And sometimes there's a home that I've went to with someone else, and it was a lady, and we got a chance to witness. I said, Bonnie, come on along with me. Because I need a lady to touch base. You say, how many people have come to know Christ as Savior over all these years? Not a whole lot. Do you know, am I accountable for those that'll get saved? No, I'm not. I'm just called to be a vessel. God is responsible for saving them. And you know that feel out there, there's more going to be rejecting Christ than there will be those that are accepting Christ. Isn't that right?
That's right.
So don't expect everyone. But say there's one. Say there's a family. Wow. Anyway, Paul goes on to say in verse number 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you. I wanted to come, but hitherto I wasn't able to. Well, first of all, he was involved in a work that was extensive in Macedonia. You can read that in Acts chapter 16. But also you and I know that Satan sometimes holds us back from doing God's will right away. So Satan could have been involved. He said that the reason why, that I might have some fruit among you. Paul wasn't going to sightsee Rome. Although I think probably many of us would say, we'd love to go to Rome and see all the sightseeing that is there, just like we were in Guam. But I went to sightsee with my wife and our children. But you know, deep down, I was thinking, when am I gonna get to share the gospel? And it took the longer part of the week, but I was able to share with a couple that was getting out of the pool where I was soaking my feet. And they were from the Baha'i faith. Now, I didn't know they were from any faith. I just broke up a conversation, and then I asked them, I said, do you go to church anywhere? And they said, yeah, we're Baha'i. Now, I had read years ago about the Baha'i faith. Some of them might even be here in Viroqua, for all you know. Or maybe you do know. So I began to share the gospel with him, and he began to share with me. And I said, well, what do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, I believe he's the greatest light this world could ever ask for. See, the Baha'i faith believes in an eternal light and that you will never die. You'll die physically, but you'll come back not in a reincarnation form, but as some form of light in some form of organism, I guess. But I couldn't convince them any different, but I did get a chance to share. Now, let me fill in the blanks for you there. And letter D, Paul's purpose for going to Rome was to get fruit, to win people for Christ, because people were unsaved there in Rome. Roman numeral 3, Paul was a witness to unbelievers there at Rome, as he had been in other churches. Verse number 14, Paul states, I am a debtor. I am a debtor, that is, I am under obligation to share the gospel. Why was Paul a debtor? Because he realized that Jesus Christ died for his sin. We're all debtors. But Paul was called by God to the Greek, or the, well, the verse says, to the wise, the Greek were educated people, and to the barbarians, to those that were uneducated. Would we be willing to share the gospel with someone maybe that didn't have the educational knowledge that we have, or we just ignore them? I hope not. Letter B, verse number 15, Paul again states, I am ready. I am ready to share the gospel. Letter C, verse 16, Paul stated, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why are we not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? This has been going through my mind as I shared the last few weeks with this young man and then with my landlord, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah? I'm not ashamed, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To those that don't believe, the power of God's not working in their lives. To the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. Paul concludes in verse number 17 and says this, for therein, that is, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's Paul's message to the church of Rome. It's the same message here to the church at Viroqua.